This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Dennis Reese. Today on the program, deconstruction. We won't be discussing the type invented by a certain French philosopher that involves rigorously pursuing the meaning of a text to the point of undoing the oppositions on which it apparently is founded, to the point of showing that those foundations are irreducibly complex, unstable, or impossible. No, our foundations this hour on Home Improvement Day with Bill McAnally will be all building, as we learn about the green way to tear down a structure, reusing materials, recycling waste, and drastically reducing materials that would normally go to the landfill. With an ample supply of unoccupied houses and demand for green building materials, house recycling may be an idea for the times. It's Home Improvement Day with Bill McAnally on Talk of Iowa. We'll take your calls and emails in 5 minutes following news from Iowa Public Radio and NPR. And welcome to Talk of Iowa for this Thursday. I'm Dennis Reese, and it is Home Improvement Day on the program with Bill McAnally of Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge. Our topic is deconstruction. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Dennis. How are you?
I'm great. I was afraid when you sent me that topic we were going to talk philosophy here, but I guess not, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty deep.
You are.
You know, and I was going to throw the other term. You know, you thought deconstruction was good. I kind of like the one that said distillation. You know, if I would have said distillation of a building, you thought we were going to talk about micropubs or microbreweries or something.
Yeah, that would have got me excited, but
yeah.
But I'm excited.
Well, you're not excited about deconstruction?
No, I really am.
Oh, man.
I found this fabulous article from Forbes, which I normally don't read, but just have, you know, did a search and about green demolition. It really is very exciting what's happening around the country. Much of this material is not going to landfills. Years ago, would have probably all gone to landfills, correct? When
yes,
people were tearing down houses, but not anymore.
No, it's. I tell you what, it's pretty exciting. It's part of, you know, and I hate to say that green term again, but it's you know, there's a lot of interest in it because it does prevent a lot of materials going to the landfill. Plus, it creates a lot of jobs. The reason I kind of wanted to bring it up today is it's a topic that we're working with workforce development, the governor's office, Mid-America and UNI on a grant on trying to find ways to better use some of the older buildings that are reaching the end of their useful life in the state of Iowa, you know, whether it's industrial, commercial, residential. You know, what do we do with these buildings? Usually, we're a throwaway society. It's pretty easy to, you know, somebody comes in and then, you know, they rip a house down, and in a couple hours, it's just munched up, thrown in a dumpster, and taken to the landfill. But there's so much materials that can be taken out of it, of a building, and then reused or recycled or something positive done to that building. In Iowa, roughly 19 to 20% of the product that goes to a landfill comes from construction and demolition waste, and there's just so much that can be done with these buildings. I built a house for myself in the late 70s that was, the majority of it was recycled from old corn cribs because they've got a lot of good framing lumber in them, and another house that my wife and I dismantled. I built one for a customer in the 80s that we didn't use anything new, no new lumber until we got to the roof sheeting. It was all from dairy barns and corn cribs, buildings. The second floor was all maple from a gym floor that the owner was able to find. I think it was in Nebraska or Kansas. We just ran it through a planer and just beautiful flooring. You know, you can save somewhere between 80 and 90% of that building can either be reused or recycled and kept out of the landfill. Now, you know, I know the argument usually is, yeah, but you can get it done so much faster just demolishing it. But you're not creating any jobs. You can actually make money tearing it down. And part of this grant is we've had to do a lot of research nationwide, and every example shows that if you take something down and you have the right plan, you already have your contacts for, like, say, giving the materials to, you know, like, say, Habitat for Humanity or someone else that can reuse the materials, that usually you create 2 to 3 jobs per project, and those can be ongoing if you keep getting the project, sometimes up to 5 or 6 jobs depending on the size of the project. Plus, you're bringing in money, and things aren't going to landfill. A lot of small towns, you know, they'll go in and kind of cherry pick, you know, pick out the really cool stuff, like maybe some trim, some doors, maybe some plumbing fixtures. But in the deconstruction side, or you know, basically a complete dismantling, you're taking pretty much the whole building.
That is very impressive. You know, if you're going to tear down a house, Bill, and you don't know where to go where you should go to donate all of this stuff or to sell it, I mean, where should a homeowner go that's looking at demolishing a structure?
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because my wife's family, they had to tear down a house that was from the 1800s. And when you start tearing down a house, it's amazing how many people show up after 5 o'clock and help themselves.
Is that right?
To what's there. You know, we were salvaging the brick side. It had a 8x8 brick sidewalk, and we were salvaging those. And as soon as you start digging them up, if you leave the site, there's quite a few people who come by and help you out when you're not around. But normally, you know, you can get with any of the Habitat for Humanity groups. Most of them have a restore, and even if you just get a hold of any Habitat for Humanity, they can get you the contacts. But there's also a manual that you can download for free from the DNR. It's called Best Management Practices, Waste Reduction, Construction, and Demolition Debris. And if you just type in Iowa Waste Reduction Center, you just Google that, and just go to downloads. You can download the whole manual for free.
Yeah, that's great. I'll probably have
the Iowa Waste Reduction Center, they can also get you in contact with people that, say buyers of products. Now, after we're done with this grant, it's unbelievable how many websites and how many companies there are here in Iowa that buy materials. Eastern part of Iowa has a lot of companies, demolition companies, that, you know, if you have a certain number of bricks from a building, you put them on a pallet, shrink wrap, you know, they'll pay you so much per brick, they'll come pick them up, and you're making money. So many of these older buildings, they just crush up the brick. You know, if you can get good money for brick, it's better than just throwing it away.
A couple of days ago, I had the pothole guy from Iowa State on the air talking about how potholes are terrible. He's an expert he's a professor of engineering. But anyway, he's an expert on asphalt improving.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was saying that the asphalt industry is buying just every old shingle, discarded shingle they can get their hands on, and recycling those into making asphalt for roads. I thought that was a great idea.
You know what? That is the neatest. That's the neatest flyer that I've pulled out. It's about 70. I have it right in front of me. It's about 73 pages. It's from the Construction Materials Recycling Association on recycling those asphalt shingles, and it's amazing the tools that they've come up with and the equipment to recycle these How much better some of this asphalt is, too. Did he talk at all? I missed the program, but did he talk at all about, they're calling it self-healing asphalt?
No, he didn't use that particular phrase, I don't think.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of, you know, because on these potholes, when you're using some of these newer type of materials, that they kind of bind back into themselves. There's some really cool technology coming out with asphalt, but... Oh yeah, they're buying it up like crazy. You know, that's something you could never get rid of. A friend just emailed me a site this week. We could never get rid of our extruded polystyrene, you know, from construction sites. Well, he found a place now that grinds it, melts it, and recycles it, which we've never had that opportunity until he just let me know about that.
Wow. We would love to hear from our listeners this hour. It's Home Improvement Day. We're talking about green demolition, deconstruction, whatever term you want to use. And our our phone number is 866-780-9100. It's toll-free, 866-780-9100. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Bill McAnally, Director of the Industrial Technology Program, Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge. This article written by Alex Davidson in Forbes says tax breaks on donated materials can make deconstruction a very attractive option. A 2,000-square-foot house might contain 6,000 board feet of lumber, equivalent to 33 mature trees. I had no idea that that many trees had to die for a house.
Yeah, you know, and Robert Falk works at the U.S. Forest Labs up in Madison, Wisconsin. I met him, 20 years ago. We were on a flight together out to Seattle. And at that time, his job was to take a look at how much old-growth lumber there was in abandoned military facilities, you know, like these old hangars and, you know, buildings around the country. And at that time, there was more old-growth lumber in those military facilities than what was still growing in the United States, because they had so many of these big timbers and so much lumber. And he said if you have about that every year there's about 250,000 houses in the United States, you know, about 1,000 square feet or so, that they're torn down, and there's enough framing lumber in those houses that you tear down to be able to frame 75,000 new homes. So we're throwing away, like you know, you just said, how much lumber. Well, we're throwing away all this lumber that can be reused, and you know, there's a lot of the house that, you know, it isn't worth, you know, the time, the effort. Maybe the materials aren't very good, but the nice thing about using old lumber, you know, I know it looks dirty and it's discolored, but hey, it's age, you know, it's done moving around, and it's and a lot of people like that kind of patina that some of it has. We tore out an old floor in a building downtown. A guy said, just get rid of it. It was all 2x10s. It was all hemlock. I ran it through a planer, and you can't buy that anymore. You can't buy lumber that looks like that old growth hemlock anymore.
Wow, I was amazed when you said you recycle an entire gymnasium floor and use that.
Yeah,
that
was, you know, one of these recycling guys, he has this so down pat that he bought a whole gym out in the state of Washington, cut it into chunks, and sold the chunks to people. He cut it into, like, I think there was like 12x12 sections, and then they would do their whole room. They took the whole floor in one piece and cut it into maybe just pieces big enough to get through a door, and they bought it that way.
Wow.
You know, the guys are cutting garages into sections, you know, the four walls and the roof into four sections, and then putting it on one trailer, hauling it, and rebuilding it. So it's not so much now, since we have the equipment, it's not so much that we just take down little pieces.
Bill, we have to take a break. We'll continue the conversation. Hang in there. We'll take some calls as well coming up in a minute. Home Improvement Day, Talk of Iowa continues on Iowa Public Radio. 20 past 10, welcome back to Home Improvement Day. Bill McAnally from Iowa Central Community College. We're talking about green demolition and a very interesting topic. It's so wonderful to see all of this happening, Bill. It's downright exciting because, you know, when did this trend start? And we were talking about something in the last decade or so, right, mostly?
It's always been around. It's just, you know, it's hard to get that it's not really curb appeal, but when people look at old lumber, the majority of customers look, oh, geez, you know, look at it, it's ugly, it's dirty, it's junk. But, you know, you take that surface off, and it's amazing what's underneath that. And, you know, it kind of came from, I'm going to call it the old hippie days, you know, we used to save money, we would reuse a lot of these products. And with the economy the way it is, it's smarter to do. But, you know, there's some states now in the United States that will not allow construction and demolition waste to go to a landfill. You know, Iowa, we're kind of lucky. We have, you know, around our area, we have, you know, gypsum pits here that, you know, they can haul and fill up. But imagine if the state of Iowa said, okay, you can no longer haul any of your construction and demolition waste to a landfill, well, I'm telling you what, you know, there'd be an industry pop up pretty fast in Iowa. A lot of jobs would be created on recycling and reusing these materials. You know, and if you really like tools, Dennis, there's a company called Artillery Pry Bar System, and they have a complete kit of different tools. You have a pry bar, and it has all these different heads on it that you can quick attach on there if you're taking up oak flooring, or if you're taking off siding, if you're taking apart framing. They all have these different heads that you can quick switch to salvage things and tear the house down faster. Now, I really like that. And then there's an air hammer called a kicker that drives the nails backwards. You stick it over the nail, it drives the nail out of the wood instead of driving in.
Wow.
So,
okay.
I mean, if you like tools, that artillery tool, I'm going to buy a set of that. It's like 300 and some bucks, which is pretty cheap when you consider how much wood you can salvage.
Yeah, really. Let's go to the phones. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Let's go to the phones.
Okay. We have a bunch of listeners who are dying to ask you some questions, Bill. Starting with Linda in Waverly. Good morning, Linda. Whoops. Linda, are you there? Hi, Linda.
Hello?
Yeah, Linda, you're on the air.
Okay. I have two houses in Waverly that are actually getting demolished in the next couple of months. One is from going to FEMA, and we're not allowed to salvage anything out of that, which is rather depressing. And the other one is being purchased by Fairway, and that's not the they're bungalows, and there's all kinds of stuff. And I only have until the 22nd, and I'm wondering, is there anything I can do now to get people to either come and take this stuff or get? I don't have the skill or the ability to take it down, but Fairway has told me that anything I want to pull out of here, I can have. And there's
hardwood
flooring.
And you're in Waverly?
Yeah, so let's have a demolition party.
Yeah, if you put it in, just put an free ad in the newspaper. I would not be surprised if you had a lot of calls. You know, there's some salvage and wrecking firms. There's Fuller Salvage in Waterloo. They do some of that demolition. If there's a Habitat for Humanity group, I know
I called them after the flood and wanted them to come and get some of my tubs and stuff that I had pulled out that weren't wrecked.
Yeah.
They were just, and they never did seem to be interested.
Well, of course, the one you say is a bungalow?
They're both bungalows. They're, from 1906 and 12.
Well, I tell you what, if you put in there that's a bungalow, there'll be a lot of people because there's a lot of special trim work and detail work that can be used out of a bungalow.
Yeah.
They'll travel
yeah, the
all
one that,
over Iowa.
The one that I can part
that,
out, most of the trim has been painted, at least half of it. But shame is that the one that FEMA's buying has got all the original beautiful trim, and I can't,
yeah.
It's got to just go in the landfill because FEMA won't let you take it.
Do you know Louder Construction Architectural up there in Waverly?
No, but I can find them in the...
Yep, they're in Waverly. They do architectural salvage.
Okay, I'll call them, too.
Linda, there's
there
some great ideas for you. Thanks a lot for that call. Linda called from Waverly, 866-780-9100. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We have an email from Kate in Cedar Falls. Is there a centralized website in Iowa or the Midwest where architects, builders could go to look for recycled materials? It would be great to have a site that worked like a catalog of existing old buildings and exact square footage of materials, flooring and bricks and so forth, so the architecture builders could design a structure from top to bottom with existing recycled
materials.
Well,
we're trying to put that together as part of this grant.
Okay.
But, where I said a little earlier about downloading this from, the Iowa Waste Reduction, is they have a lot of, they have a market listing in the back of different companies, architectural salvage groups already in the back of this, that deal you can download for free. But, yeah, part of this, the grant, and we hope to have this information done in the next few months, that you'll be able to have a whole list of companies, a list of buildings in the state of Iowa, and specific contact information and estimates. That's what we're really trying to get done because you know you can really see how this could snowball and create a lot of jobs. That's what we're really trying to do is get some jobs. And you know, people think that it's dirty, and yes, it is, but it is so much fun. I mean, I really love tearing down buildings. Sometimes it's more fun to take down. You have to do a lot of thinking, you know, about, well, if I pull on this, what's going to happen? We tried to pull down, and I hate that I even did this. We had to take down a round corn crib one time, and I thought, well, I'll just hook a chain around this thing and take off. Well, you take off, and it acted like a spring. It got to the end of the rope and pulling the dump truck, and finally the thing pulled the dump truck backwards. It just spun right back, pulled it backwards. Yeah. You know, and things like that. It's a lot of fun doing this stuff.
Ever find any time capsules or something interesting?
Yeah, we did find a lot of. We found here in Fort Dodge, we found a bunch of old whiskey bottles and Crocs that were underneath a concrete floor that they hid during Prohibition.
Wow.
Underneath the basement floor, they had access through the ash pit of the fireplace to it.
Really? That's wild.
Really scary when you think about it.
Yeah. Here's an email from Jim. Old lumber, 2x4s, dries out and gets hard to nail through, or splits when you try to nail through it. Any comments or hints?
Well, you know, it just depends what kind of lumber it is. You know, any fir, even brand new fir studs, that's why a lot of carpenters don't like fir, is that it splits so easy. And some of them do get hard. What you can do, though, is when it's real hard, you can blunt the end of the nail, and it'll push through rather than split. There are some special nails that are made specifically that way, have a blunt tip that's not quite so pointed, and it goes through wood that keeps it from splitting. It's kind of a special order. In fact, I can't remember how I got a hold of them a long time ago. But that's, you know, that is one downside. But the one thing is once it's attached, you know, it's not going to move. They're just harder to toenail. They're not so much, you know, when you're framing walls and you drive nails through plates into the end of studs, they don't usually split. But if you're trying to toenail, yeah, I agree with him. Okay. You know, there's always a downside, but at least they're not going to move.
Okay, let's go next to Laurent in Ames. Good morning, Laurent.
Yeah, so I had a story from some years ago that was a good example of deconstruction. During World War II, a bunch of temporary buildings were put up on the Iowa State campus. There were a bunch of them located there between Beardshire and Marston, south of the library. And these were kind of an eyesore, and the university was long hoping to get rid of them. But they had a number of departments. I think maybe mechanical engineering was in some of these. And finally they got to the point where they were able to relocate everybody that was in them and were ready to tear them down. And they put it up for bids. And several companies bid, you know, so many hundreds of thousands of dollars to take them all down and cart them off and clean up the space afterwards and do it all within 4 months or whatever the university asked. But there was a guy from Boone, I believe, who made a very irregular bid. He said, I'll do it for free if you let me keep everything, and I won't be able to do it in 4 months. It'll take me a year. And to the university's credit, they thought that over and decided, well, let's go with it. And sure enough, that's what happened. The guy was out there every day with a few workers, and they were dismantling everything, and I hope they made a nice profit off the stuff that they got out of that.
Okay, Laurent, we have to take a break, so we're going to, Jim, you just, Bill, you have just a few seconds here to, if you wanted to add something.
Yeah, that's a good story. And the other thing is when you take them down, you have a lot less site mess, a lot less dust, you know, rather than just ripping them apart, a lot less dust. You're not tearing the grounds up. It's a lot cleaner for the, you know, the people that are in the area. So that's a good story. I like that.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Well, Bill, hang in there. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Take a break for the Environment Report. Continue with Talk of Iowa. 5 minutes on Iowa Public Radio. Next Talk of Iowa continues on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Dennis Reese. It's Home Improvement Day with Bill McAnally, Director of the Industrial Technology Program at Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge. And, Bill, let's go to an email from Marion in Des Moines. She says, I own an old house in the country that I would like to have torn down. I hadn't thought about trying to recycle it. My question is, the house is covered with an asbestos-based siding installed sometime after World War II. What are the regulations concerning its removal, and are salvagers licensed to remove it and willing to do so?
It depends. Some of the salvaging companies are. You'll have to check with them. There, you know, it's always been that that if it's your house and you take it off, you know, your own personal house, there's methods to take it off and the proper method to take it off to the landfill. But if you hire somebody, you know, they do have to be licensed with the state, and it can be kind of a big deal. But there are a lot of companies that, it's amazing, that still will salvage that asbestos siding, even though it's hazardous. There are still companies that use it in restoration areas because they can't, if they have to replace on, a historical building or a historical site, that's the only thing that works is that particular piece of asbestos siding. There's a lot of different sizes and textures, you know, and shapes, and it's hard to get something to fit on a historical building. So some of those are actually valuable, but it also depends on what city and state you take them to. Some areas may not let you bring in asbestos. You may have to use a replica, but if another company's taking it down, yes, they have to be licensed. They have to be do it correctly by the state of Iowa rules.
All right. One more email before we go back to phones. Dustin in Liscum says, I'm currently tearing out all of the plaster and lathe in my hole upstairs. I checked on getting a dumpster to haul all of it away, which is very expensive. Is there anyone who can use any of these materials to recycle, or what would be your recommendation for disposing of all of the waste?
Well, the lath, usually somebody will take the lath. You don't.
I'm sorry, I called. What is lath? I don't even know.
And we used to just tie it up with baling twine. You know, you can go to a store and pay, you know, like $6 for a bundle, or you can give it away to people. There's always somebody looking for lath, and you can even just put it in a newspaper. But the plaster is kind of tough because, you know, an older home, it may have lead paint on it. And that can be a serious issue. So hopefully when he's taking that out, he's got the, you know, a NIOSH mask on. But no, that's the only thing. You know what, it's not so much the plaster, it's how, if when you have the lath and plaster mixed, it takes up a lot of space. So if you separate the lath out and bundle it up, usually the plaster doesn't add up to a whole lot. It does in weight, but not a whole lot of volume. So it doesn't take up a whole lot of space. So usually that should go to the landfill because of the contaminants.
Sorry, I didn't know what lath was. What is it exactly?
Yeah, the lath is, you know, are those small, in the older homes, they would put on the stud framework, you know, it's just basically a 3/8 by an inch and a quarter wide piece of wood, about 4 feet long.
All right.
And you see them, new ones up and down the highways when they stake out a site. They'll have a little flag on it, and that's basically what they look like. Now, if you get in the real old homes, those are the really cool ones. Is they've taken cottonwood when it was green, and you pull it apart, and you just kind of pull it from the two sides, and it spreads apart. And there's actually people that will pay for that as well, because they want to go back and completely rebuild their house the way it was. And so if they put an addition or have to rebuild after a fire or water damage, they're looking for that old lath. And some of the newer houses after that wood lath stage, and the plaster had a metal lath. And that's pretty tough to separate. But if you can, you can take the metal lath to a recycler. But normally that just goes to landfill because that does get very, very, very time consuming.
866-780-9100, Home Improvement Day. Let's go to Tom in Iowa City. And good morning, Tom. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. My question is a little different. Most of the deconstruction seems to be aimed at salvage of buildings that nobody needs or wants anymore. What I was wondering is, there's, you know, a fair number of us out here who are at a point where our kids have left their homes, our homes are too large, but we live on an acreage, love where we live, and we're not ready to, you know, sell the farm and move to town. Is there anybody doing deconstruction that's sort of the reverse of putting an addition on your home, but making it smaller and allowing you to maybe offset the cost by recycling some of the materials?
Yeah, you know, like there's a few smaller remodeling companies in Iowa that will do that, you know, and I think that's, you bring up a topic that not too many people think about, you know, because we have been building, you know, big houses, and when the kids move out, we really don't need that anymore. And just exactly what you're saying is, architects are looking at ways to design homes so that you can do, you know, reverse construction, or, you know, just refine that house back down to something smaller and reuse the materials that you're taking off. So what when they designed the house, that they would use materials that were not cutting to weird dimensions, you know.
Right.
Structure the house so like it's maybe in a cubes of say 12 foot by 12 foot, and you take one off, now you've got one less bedroom, or you take two squares of 12 by 12, and then you've basically taken off, you know, roughly 300 square feet. And, you know, that comes in the design phase, but some companies are doing that, and I'm glad you bring that up, because I think we're going to see more of that. And sometimes the only issue is, okay, now what do we do about the basement?
Right.
In case there's a basement underneath that. And that can, you know, there's design issues to get around that, but that may be the only thing that really causes a problem. And, the thing is, too, is you're taking a lot of square footage off your taxes, too.
Right, right. I mean, are there specific companies in Iowa that specialize in that? I haven't really, most of the advice.
You know, I don't know. You know, I know there's some, but I don't know. I've seen them advertised, you know, but I can't even remember. You know, I see them drive by in their trucks, but I can't remember who they are. That's something that I'm going to remember that for this grant. That's something we need to look for.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks,
yeah,
Tom.
No, that's a really good idea.
Tom called from Iowa City. Let's go to Dubuque next, and Dean is on the line. Dean?
Hello, good morning.
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 Good morning. It's a topic dear to my heart because I've been reusing and recycling since 1975. I'm a renovator. And
good.
We've taken down a 2,000 square foot Victorian building, and I was shocked to see that we built a small 54 6 by 6 foot building, and we stored almost all what we took down from that huge building in that area. And it dawned on me that most of what's in a house is air.
You're right. Start stacking it up. It's almost, you're kind of a little bit demoralized, aren't you, when you do all that work and you go, God, is this all I have?
Yeah, it was amazing. And of course, I've reused very much of it, siding and you know, dimensional lumber and wiring. And we had little stacks where we had each metal was set aside. So everything in the house that we could either sell or reuse, we did, including the limestone basement stones, because Dubuque's got a lot of limestone. But I just wanted to mention that there is a problem with recycling lead based materials back into a home, the lead abatement people. You want to check into that and make sure that if you do buy something from a reuse area, you know how to deal with it when you put it back into your building. Another thing is in New Orleans, I worked in New Orleans for 12 years, and it was interesting. They brought in lumber from Formosa, the Navy did. They recycled their lumber from their Formosan Navy base, and they brought Formosan termites with it, and now there's Formosan termites all over the French Quarter of New Orleans, and those are voracious insects. So the point there being, if you do recycle material, make sure you don't bring termites back into the house with you. And another thing is, it's very dangerous work. You can step on nails. You can have things fall on your head. You can pull plaster off the wall and have plaster hit you in the eye. There's so many ways to get hurt when you deconstruct, so you need to be very, very careful about how you do that. Just one little sidelight. I also worked in Surfside Beach, South Carolina. We used to go down to the beach and pick up dimensional lumber that was treated after storms, and actually built a lot of things out of dimensional lumber that we picked up off the beach. You wouldn't believe the dimensional lumber that would come on the beach after a major storm, especially a hurricane. And the other thing, that man that's got a problem with fur, keep your drill handy and drill your toenails. It's a very, very quick way to do it. And anyone that's dealing with trim that they pull off back, pull the nails with a vice grip, your trim nails, so you don't punch them through and have more damage done when you put them on the wall. When you back pull them, there's no evidence that you've even taken a nail out.
Okay, Dean, you're just full of great advice. Thank you for the call from Dubuque.
7 years.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Jeremy.
Like what Dean was saying, there's a tool called the nail jack for pulling nails out backwards. It looks like a big set of pliers, and it's got huge handles on it, and it makes the job very simple. And and that's when they come. Sometimes when they come back, they'll fling out and hit you in the face. So, but you can have a grip on them with this called the nail jack.
Okay. Jeremy has sent us an email. He says, I want to make sure Eastern Iowa listeners know about the Iowa City Salvage Barn. It's part of Friends of Historic Preservation in Iowa City. Sells historic material salvaged from Eastern Iowa buildings. The Salvage Barn's website is www.ic-fhp.org. And the Salvage Barn at the Iowa City Landfill open the first and third Saturdays from 9 until 1 p.m. Okay. Thank you for that reminder.
That's the kind of stuff we want to hear. That's we want to find out where these places are at.
Yeah, and our asphalt shingle discussion earlier has prompted an email from Barry and Marion. He says, I've seen that asphalt shingles can be recycled to use in new asphalt pavement. I live in Marion, and I'm planning a new steel roof this spring, but would like to have the old shingles recycled versus going to the landfill. Are there businesses in Eastern Iowa that do this type of recycling?
There is. The only one that I have right now that's listed is out of Des Moines, but that's the other thing, part of this grant, we want to get all those. I'm sure there is. I just have to do some research on it, I guess, because I know Des Moines Asphalt and Paving, I think they do, but I know they do concrete, but I think they do asphalt as well, but I don't know if they do shingles yet. It's so new, you know, that you'd think somebody would jump right on that.
Yeah. I think Joan from Cedar Rapids has a similar question. Let's find out. Joan, good morning.
Good morning. I have a roof that I'm replacing, and my question is the same. Who do I call in order, because there's two layers of asphalt shingles up there, who would I call to have recycled those?
That's where we're going to have to find. I just pulled up some places for asphalt shingles, and every one of them is in Minnesota. Mm. So we're going to have to find somebody here in Iowa. I would get a hold of Colleen Schadner at the Iowa Waste Exchange, or Shalene Codner at Iowa Waste Exchange, and because she should have probably access to where the people are in the state of Iowa now, because this brochure was put out in 2008, and you know, Dennis, you know, a lot of this is new, so they probably some newer companies now that are on their list.
Okay. Great, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
It's kind
you,
of fun being something right on to brand new, and you can say, "Geez, I don't know yet because it's too new."
Yeah, that's right. Let's go next to Jerry in Cedar Rapids. Jerry, you're on the Talk of Iowa.
Sure. Thank you. Very interesting subject. We had the old Farmstead factory here that they're knocking down, and to the best of my knowledge, they're not recycling any of it under the fear of asbestos.
Uh-huh.
I realize fiber is the danger, but you would think the brick and the asphalt roof could be recycled. And leading up to the point, their fear is that if they bury the debris out of state, that we're responsible for the debris forever. But couldn't you just grind that stuff up?
Sure.
Brick and everything?
Yeah, you can grind that up. You know, and when they're demolishing, as long as they, you know, keep things moist, because in other states, when they're, you know, nervous about the asbestos, you'll see that they have, like, misting units set up to kind of throw a very light fog of moisture over the site as they're demolishing to keep the dust down. They're keeping that down, plus the asbestos, you know, so that it doesn't, you know, become friable or doesn't become dust and start spreading.
Yeah.
But as long as you keep it damp, it goes right back down.
So in your opinion, they could just keep it here and recycle it?
Well, that's me, yeah, of course. You know, of course, there, it all depends what their attorneys tell them.
Yeah, well, that and they're paying $120 a ton or something to bury it here. And the second part of my question quickly was we're in the process of knocking down 200, 300, 400 homes down in Time Check and other neighborhoods. And to the best of my knowledge, all that's going to the landfill, everything.
Yeah, and
the fear of asbestos also.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know, but, you know, they could be take, well, I don't even want to get into that because I believe you can do a lot of salvage, but there again, they look at time, they look at dollars, and, you know, I'm not under that pressure. So I, you know, my decision or my opinion probably, you know, well, it doesn't matter. I know anyway, but, you know, I hate seeing that all disappear because I know that the lumber and all that can be resalvaged, but there's also a lot of chemicals that were in that water and they're probably playing the safe route. You know,
when did they stop using asbestos? Way back, what, in the 60s, maybe, something like that?
I think in the 60s,
yeah,
somewhere in there. But when you're dealing with other chemicals, you know, you have to look at the public's health, too, because I could see pretty easy, you know, if we were to tear a house down and it did have some bad chemicals in that was sucked into the wood, it could be a serious environmental hazard for where you used it later. So in some cases, you know, if in that case, you know, maybe that is the safe, you know, I'm sure it is the safest thing to do. You hate to see it, but it's probably the safest thing to do for everybody involved.
We have a line open, 866-780-9100. Let's move to Winterset and talk to Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Okay. I was going to say, actually, I'm from Cedar Rapids. I'm down here in the old home place helping my mother do some stuff. But I was going to say, in Cedar Rapids, too, I think they're worried about mold and all that kind of stuff. It was pretty icky down there. But I thought, boy, people threw away all these appliances and stuff. It was ridiculous. In fact, I'm using a washing machine that somebody threw away. But anyway, yeah,
there's a lot of metal. Hopefully, you know, maybe some of it was recycled, you know, just for the metal. But, you know, a lot of times when they have to look at the whole public health in general, yeah, you know, you look at pictures, because when I toured some of the houses down there too, you know, I look at it and I think, oh man, I could really use this, but, you know, I don't know what's on it. I don't know what it's been exposed to. So,
you know, but I mean, things like a washing machine or a dehumidifier, it's just a piece of steel and electric motor. And, as long as it wasn't on when it got wet, you just clean it up with a lot of bleach and, you know, get the dirt out of it and away you go. But anyway, I was going to say I'm kind of one of those old hippie recycle guys, too. And my workbench is made out of pieces of bowling lanes from West Branch, but I would say if people start getting into using recycled materials, old growth wood is magic.
Yeah.
I'm old enough. I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and lumber today looks like trash to me. And
compared to this old growth lumber that you can find, you should watch. Like CBS News in the morning, the Good Morning Show with like Harry Smith and that, mm-hmm. They sit at this table that, you know, people would normally throw away. If you look at the table they sit at, it looks like an old piece of old growth timber. It's about 2 inches thick, and you can look at the end of it and you can see where, you know, it's just a big chunk of old wood. And here it is on national TV, and normally people would have burned it. And it's just a nice piece that looks like old growth lumber. Mm. They just threw some varnish on it. Boy, it's a beautiful table.
Thanks a lot for that call, Tom. We have a follow-up email here, Bill, from Rebecca, referring to last month's program. When her fireplace was wicking into the house instead of up the chimney, you said to call an expert, and here's what Rebecca writes. The flames licking... okay, well, I'm just reading it here for the first time. The flames licking into the room versus up the chimney and gas smell were caused by improper venting. There was a negative airflow in our house instead of a balanced airflow, and the cause was a blocked air exchanger we had installed to maintain the right humidity levels. The vent to the outside was completely filled with sticky cotton from our neighbor's cottonwood tree, so we also weren't getting the benefits of the air exchanger.
You know, haven't we said that before? I think we have before, too, the cottonwood.
Yeah,
we have the same issue up here on campus.
Yeah, I think
we have the cottonwood. It always gets on the intake of our ventilation systems. We have to go around all the time and scrub it off.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm glad she called that guy in then.
Well, that's right. That's right. That worked out well. Thank you, Rebecca. Let's see. We will have time for another call, at least probably one more call. Let's go to Charlottesville, Indiana. Shelton, are you there?
Hi, this is Shelton calling I'm on the interstate as I'm driving by. I'm listening to your terrific show. I'm thinking, wow, Iowa is really ahead of the mark here. That's terrific. Here's my question.
Thanks.
My son has a 1970s house with a cedar roof in Colorado. And the cedar roof is about 40 years old. It's the nice, thick cedar that has been there for so many years that it's begun to curl up. Is there any way to rehab that, to put it back down? Or if it can't be fixed, repaired, and by the way, it's not leaking, if it can't be repaired, how do you recycle that cedar in Colorado?
Well, if it hasn't been treated with it, sometimes they treated stuff with it. But out in Colorado, there are a lot of companies that will buy that, like Habitat for Humanities and the salvage companies out there. They'll take that curled cedar, cut it into smaller pieces so that the curl isn't so accentuated, and they'll reuse that.
Whoa!
The worst case scenario is they would turn it into mulch.
All right, and then. So if we take that off, then do you have a recommendation of what is a more ecologically friendly roof to put back on? Last choice would be asphalt shingles. Steel would be probably the first choice, but what would be your environmental?
I like the steel roofs. I do. I really like them out in Colorado. I like them here.
Okay.
I think that's the best way. But if he goes back to cedar, you know, the cedar shakes that we have now aren't from the old growth lumber, so you really have to make sure that you put something called like cedar breather underneath the cedar shakes so they get a chance to really dry. But boy, it's pretty tough to get the newer cedar shakes to last anywhere near as long as the older ones.
Shelton, thanks a lot for the call and for tuning in to Iowa Public Radio. Bill, we're out of time. A great program, lots of great ideas.
Yeah, that was
very
fun, Dennis.
Very interesting ideas, and it's very very hopeful that all of this recycling is going on. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you in a month. Bill McAnally, Director of the Industrial Technology Program at Iowa Central Community College. Our assistant today, Christoph Mai, Talk of Iowa, production of Iowa Public Radio News.